message this morning, I'd like to pray over our speaker, Pastor Chris. So would you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder and the idea to be good and to be courteous, Lord. We pray this morning as we look into your word, may our hearts be open to what you have to say, God. And even in this morning, this theme of gratefulness and faithfulness, Lord, that you bestow upon us, may we be even more reminded and cherish, Lord, the things that you give to us, the things that you provide. May you be with Pastor Chris this morning, too, as he delivers your word to us. May we hear a message from you in faithfulness, Lord. And may we listen in faithfulness to you. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. We had a great Thanksgiving. Congratulations to you Trojans out there. That's okay. One out of four is all right. So we're starting our Advent season. We have prayed about it and we came up with this series. Go ahead and put the first slide up there. Our series title for the Advent season is Mary, Did You Know? You know, we're really familiar as Christians with the stories of Christmas. They've almost become like myths to us. We see them on Christmas cards, we see them in paintings, we see them sung about in carols, and there's certain images in our mind as to what Christmas must have been like. But I think, you know, a pretty well-known theologian said the Christmas stories are kind of like the last Christian myth because they've become so big and so our imagination takes us a certain way that we kind of lose touch with the reality of the stories and they become almost like myths. The characters become heroic. They're almost like on a quest and they seem like superhuman, super godly, and it's hard for us to identify with them. And as pastoral staff, we kind of thought about it, and as we meditated and prayed, I think we want to kind of go back and take a look at these Christmas stories, because there's a very human side to these Christmas stories. And I think as we connect better with the human side of these stories, that we will connect better with the stories themselves and understand how they apply to us. So the theme of the series is Mary, Did You Know? Taken from a song. We were going to play it, which is why Darren got up here, and it sounded like he was going to sing it for us, but that'll be next week. But it's from a song, and it basically asks the question, you know, how much did Mary know? We know the stories, we have a sense of what was going on, but really, did Mary really understand who was this baby that she had born? Who was this child that she was raising? And it's a question about how much did she really understand what was going? And I think as we go through these Christmas stories, we'll understand that these characters, even though they were very spiritual, I think they were very committed to God, that they still had, they were human. And then there were times when they wondered about things and where they must have had some conflicts about what was going on in their lives and what God was doing. So we're going to take a step through this first story today. It is, next slide. So today the title is, of today's sermon is Mary, Did You Know? And we're going to look at Mary. It's kind of a long passage. I hope if you have your Bibles, you will turn to them. Luke chapter 1, and it's starting with verse 26, and we're going to go ahead and step through the story. The way I'm going to do this, we're going to step through the story, kind of remind ourselves what the details of the story are. Then at the end, I'll make some application for us. So here's the passage. Next slide. Starts off with this. Sorry for the small print, but some of them get kind of long. That's why if you need a Bible, open yours and go ahead and take a look at it there. Starts like this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let's take a moment and kind of look at some of the details here. It starts with in the sixth month, and then I hope your first question is, what does that mean? Does that mean it was June? Or what does it mean, the sixth month? Well, if you look in the context of the story, you know, right before this passage starts, an angel has visited Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are, Elizabeth is one of Mary's relatives, and Zechariah was a priest in the temple. And they were old, very faithful, very, very spiritual, very godly people who tried to follow God's commandments. And he was a priest serving in the temple. And God had appeared to them and had promised that they would have a child, and that, which was very remarkable because they were really old and they shouldn't have been able to have children. But what happened was Elizabeth did get pregnant. Elizabeth did get pregnant. She was going to be pregnant actually with John the Baptist, the person who would be John the Baptist. So when it says the sixth month, it's really the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So she's two-thirds of the way, 3 months away from delivering John the Baptist. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now Galilee, again, some of these details are important. Galilee is a city in the northern part of Israel. It's about 60 miles from Jerusalem, so there's some distance there. To get from Galilee to Jerusalem takes 2 to 5 days, depending on how fast you want to go and kind of what your urgency is. But it can take up to a week to get down there. So it's not close. So like from here to San Clemente or something like that, or here to Oxnard. It's kind of that kind of, you have to walk that distance. He was sent to a virgin, a man who was engaged to this man called Joseph, and the descendants of, who was of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So today we're going to look at Mary's story. Just for your own information, only 2 Gospels in the Bible have Christmas stories. So if you want to see a Christmas story, you can only go to 2 places, either Matthew or Luke. That's it. There are no Christmas stories in Mark, no Christmas stories in John. So it should be easy for you to kind of find them. In a broad sense, Luke generally tells the story a little bit more from Mary's perspective. Matthew tells the story a little bit more from Joseph's perspective. So there's a little bit of difference in how they approach the story. I will say this, unlike many other stories in the Gospels, each Christmas story is by itself. There are no parallel passages for any Christmas story. In other words, if you see a story in Luke about the virgin birth or about going in the inn or the shepherds in the field, you're not going to find that story anywhere else. And if you look in Matthew and you see the story about the angel telling Joseph that Mary was pregnant or the 3 wise men, you're not going to see those stories anywhere else. So every Christmas story that you are familiar with stands by itself. There are no parallel passages to any Christmas story. But here we have it. So this angel comes to, God sends his angel, Gabriel, to Mary. Next slide. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of situation this was. Now, I looked on the internet and I looked up artwork of how did people depict this encounter between Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, and Mary. And almost every single one of them has like Gabriel coming down from the sky with wings and Mary just kind of sitting there scared, like any of us would be. But if you read this passage, do you understand what it says? First of all, it says the angel entered in. Now, angels appear a lot of ways in the Bible, right? In the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the story right before this, an angel just appears, just pops in out of thin air and scares Zechariah out of his wits. What happens? Angels appear in visions. Angels appear in dreams. Angels often appear as human beings. And a lot of times they just appear as a normal person. And people talk to them without even knowing they're an angel. In fact, Hebrews said many of us have entertained angels and didn't even know it, because they walk among us and they look like us. They can look like us if they take that form. So my first question as I try to think through the story was, so how did this angel appear to Mary? What happened? What did she see? And if you read the story, it says he came in, first of all, so he didn't just appear out of the air. He didn't come floating down from the sky. He basically walked in. He walked into wherever she was, and he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." There's a little, in the Greek, it's a little play on language. Really, it sounds more like his greeting was, "Blessings, blessed one." It's kind of like that. It's kind of a different kind of a greeting. Because most Jews, when you walk in and you greet them, your typical Jewish greeting is Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. that is the typical greeting. If you were to meet somebody today, you'd say, hi, right? Or how are you? Or that's a typical greeting. If somebody were to come up to you in the middle of the street as you're walking there and say, blessings, blessed one, you've got to sit there and say, who is this guy, right? Which is exactly what Mary did. Because she's looking at this. She's sitting, and I think by herself, right? So imagine this. You're a young girl, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in the mid-teens, because that's how old they were when you were virgins back then, sitting by yourself, and this man, I assume, walks in and says, blessings, blessed one. And if you're, I think when you understand that, you understand Mary's reaction. She's kind of like, whoa. What is that? What are you talking about? Who are you? Kind of a thing. He goes on to say, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So he gives a strange greeting. Mary kind of looks at him, kind of, who are you and what are you doing here? He says, hey, you're pregnant. You're going to have a son, and he's going to be a king. Again, if you put yourself in Mary's place, what are you thinking? That this kind of guy walks in off the street who you don't know, he greets you in a very strange way, and then he throws this thing at you. He says, you're pregnant, and you're going to have a son who's going to be the king. I don't know what your response is, but here's Mary's response. Next slide. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? So here's the way I read the story. So the angel comes in and says, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have the son. He's going to be great. He's going to have the king. He's going to rule the thrones of David, all these kind of things. I think Mary heard, you're going to be pregnant, and that's it. Everything else, blah, 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 blah. Because her first question is, what do you mean I'm going to be pregnant? Right? I mean, again, if it was us, that's exactly how we would respond, isn't it? It's kind of like somebody says, you are going to be pregnant, and you're a virgin. There's no way you can be pregnant. And somebody says that to you, it kind of stops right there. You don't hear anything else. And I think for Mary, that's all she heard. And she said, what? What are you talking about? How can that be? So her question to this, the question to the angel, but at this point, I don't even know if she understood that this was an angel. Because it never says that he identified himself as an angel. She's having this normal conversation with him. Typically, when angels appear in their supernatural way, people always fall down on their face and they're terribly afraid and they're scared out of their wits. But Mary was just having this conversation with him, which tells me that he appeared pretty normal, that this wasn't like some weird-looking angel that appeared out of nowhere, but just somebody that looked like a human being that walked in the door and started talking to her. So she asked him, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can I be pregnant? And then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. As I'm sitting here, again, thinking about Mary and asking this question, so how can this possibly be that I can be pregnant if I've never slept with a man, right? And the angel says, the Spirit of God will come upon you, the Most High will overshadow you, and you'll have a son. And I'm thinking, that's the answer? You know, and I again, we have to understand that for these people, these characters in the Bible, they're real people. They're not superhuman. They're not, you know, some saint kind of a thing where they think differently than we do or they feel differently than we do. They're very human. And I'm sure Mary was sitting there. And that was the explanation that he gave her. And it kind of makes sense. You know, I think as we think about what Mary, what the people of the time thought, I think they were open to the idea, especially Jewish people, open to the idea that that God did miraculous things. They're open to the idea that God was powerful because they knew all the stories. They knew the Passover stories. They knew how God had taken them out of Egypt. They knew how what God had did for them in the wilderness. They knew all these stories about how God had been so active in the past. And I'm sure they still believe them the same way we would believe them today. The same way that we believe those stories today. They would believe those stories. But then when we're confronted with the reality of God speaking to us, it kind of becomes a little different, right? Yeah, I know all these stories, and I understand God can do this, and God can work in this powerful way, and God can do whatever. Yes, I agree, nothing is impossible with God intellectually. But when confronted with the fact that now it's you that is expected to do something or go through something that sounds impossible, that's a different story, right? It's a little different. It puts a little different test on our own faith and our own the way we think. And I think for Mary, she had to be thinking, okay, this is possible. You know, I believe God can do the impossible. I believe this can happen. But that's a lot. This is a lot of information to process, like in 2 seconds. You know, the angel just said these only things to her, and then he left. The angel says, the way I kind of put this, I think the angel threw her a bone, kind of like, okay, I know this is really hard to believe, Mary. I know this, you really, this is way, you know, beyond human thinking and impossible by any human thinking. But I want to let you know that your relative, Elizabeth, who's way too old to have a baby, is going to have a baby. And that's just to show you that God can do whatever he wants to do. And then he has power to do whatever. So I think he gives her this little piece of information just to kind of say, okay, I know this is really hard to believe, and I know you, it's really hard for you to really receive this and accept this. But I want to let you know, just to prove it to you, that God can do anything. Your relative, who's way too old to have a kid, is going to have a kid, because God has blessed her with that. Mary then says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. I underline the word bondslave because I think this is Mary's heart. And the question that came to my mind as I try to think through Mary's experience of this is, so she's talking to this angel. She doesn't know it's an angel, but you know, seems to have a lot of insight, seems to be very spiritual, seems to be a person of authority, and then kind of hearing this person speak things to her that sound pretty crazy, like, I'm going to get pregnant without even having sex, I'm going to have a son, and he's going to be the king, and all these kind of things, just kind of really, as much as you may want to believe it, You still have to struggle through. You have to process all that information. And I think for Mary, her first response, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may have done to me according to your word." I think two things in that. One, I think that is her foundational way of looking at life. She's saying, you know what? I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if this is actually going to happen or not. But you know what? I am a bondslave of the Lord, and whatever he wants to do, let it be. And then, yeah, I don't understand all of this, and I still need to process it all. But whatever it is, and however it turns out, I am a bondslave of the Lord. And whatever he chooses to do, so be it. So be it. And I think that's the attitude that she takes in this. And I think for most of us like her, if this was the conversation we had, we need some time to process it. We have to think about it and say, wow, did that really happen? And wow, you know, can this possibly be? You know, how can this happen? Next slide. So very interestingly, but not surprisingly, as soon as the angel left, Luke 1 says this. "Now at this time," so the time that the angel left, "Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." So Judah is about 60 miles from Nazareth, from Galilee. Mary, who's a young girl, chooses Right away, as she had this conversation with the angel, and the angel said, you know, I know you're having trouble believing this, so just to show you it can happen, your cousin, your relative is also pregnant. Mary, right away, as soon as she finishes the conversation with the angel, gets up, packs her stuff, takes off, and goes to see if this is really true, if Elizabeth is really pregnant. Because remember, they didn't have phones, they didn't have radios, they didn't have texting. There's no way that Mary would know that Elizabeth was pregnant unless she went. Or she sent a messenger, which would, in her mind, would take too long. I'm just going to go by myself and go. Which tells you something, right? This is a young girl. I don't know if she went by herself, but it kind of seems like she went by herself. So she went on a 60-mile journey by herself through Israel to get from northern Israel to southern Israel to go visit her sister Elizabeth. What that tells me is that as much as she was devoted to God and committed to God and be able to say, God, whatever you want to do, do it, that in her mind she was still wondering, is it really true? Did that person really say what he did? And the only clue that she has is that this angel told her, your cousin, your relative is pregnant. So right away, first thing she does is goes and visits her relative. And what that tells me is she must have had some, as much as she wanted to believe, there was a little bit of doubt, right? And isn't that true for all of us? As much as we want to believe something, and as much as we want to say that has to be, there's always that little piece of doubt, right? That it's kind of like, oh man, I want to believe that. I really wish it were true, but I'm not 100% sure. I want to, but I can't. Just like that man, I believe, help my unbelief. I think that's kind of where Mary was. She really wanted to believe, so she went. She went to see Elizabeth, which says something, because she didn't have to go. She could have said, I dreamed it all, it wasn't really true. I shouldn't, just put it out of my mind. Don't worry about it. But in her mind, she said, well, it might be true. I should find out. And she went, to Elizabeth. And when she, the way the story reads, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Mary gets to Elizabeth's house. She walks in the door, says something like, Shalom, Elizabeth, or whatever. As soon as she says those words, Elizabeth, wherever she is in the house, probably sitting right there in the living room, the baby John jumps up in her, in her tummy, and then she shouts out, right? She shouts out, blessed are you among women. Blessed the fruit of your womb. How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? And she talks to Mary as if as she knew who this baby was going to be and who this was. Then I found Mary. Mary's walking in, and like I said, she had to kind of want to believe it, but not really sure if she believed it or not. She walks in the door before she says anything, before she's able to say anything about what the angel said, or whether she's pregnant or not. Before she says anything, Elizabeth shouts out at her and says, blessed are you. You are bearing the son, and the mother of my Lord. The baby within me jumped as soon as I heard your voice. This had to confirm for Mary, this is true. This is real. I didn't say anything to Elizabeth, but as soon as I showed up, I came, and here it is. She's confirming what the angel said. And she said, and what Elizabeth said, I think is significant. The last phrase there, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So that Elizabeth, in her description of Mary, inspired by the Holy Spirit, understood that Mary did believe. She might have had a little bit of doubt, but basically she believed what God could do. She believed God could do the impossible. She believed that God could do it. She wasn't 100% sure, but pretty sure that she could do it. That was enough. It was enough. And God took that, and she is counted as a person who believed. Next slide. Mary then goes through this long prayer. We don't have time to look at all of it. My soul exalt the Lord. And I want to highlight this phrase, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior for his regard for the humble state of his bondslave. Next slide, and we can kind of keep going through. She continues to give praise to God for how he's been faithful through the years, just like we sang this morning. And it ends with this, and Mary stayed with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months and then returned to her home. What we have of us here is a story of somebody who received some amazing news, shocking news that would change her life. And we kind of try to understand, well, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? So next slide. So here's some things I thought about. What did Mary not know? When as she kind of processing all of this, she had no clue how others would respond to this, that she was supposedly a virgin, but she was pregnant, which means most people would think you're not a virgin anymore. Okay, so how would others respond to the fact that I'm pregnant? How would Joseph respond to the fact that I'm pregnant? She has no idea. She doesn't know. That is something that I'm sure caused her some concern. She had to be thinking, like most here who have an unexpected pregnancy, right? Way before you're ready, she's thinking, am I even capable of raising a kid? Do I even know how to do that? Especially this kid, right? He's supposed to be the king of all of everything. Third, what is this child going to be like? Yeah, I wonder, what did she expect would come out when she had a baby? You know, this is a special baby, right? Do you think it's going to look like every other baby? Will it come out glowing? Will it talk? Hi, Mom. You know, who knows, right? You don't know. This is the once in history event. Nobody knows what. I don't know what she's thinking. What is this baby going to be like? I mean, this is the Son of God. You know, what is he going to like? He didn't know what she would be. He didn't know how this child would become, how he would die. She couldn't even imagine that. Thankfully, at this time, and most importantly, she had no clue now what the rest of her life would be like. As of the time that she was engaged to Joseph, before all of this started, I'm sure she was thinking, like most villagers, she had her life kind of figured out. Okay, I'm going to marry Joseph. We're going to have kids. He's a carpenter. I'm going to be a carpenter's wife. I'm going to work the field. I'm going to be in this house. We're going to raise a family. We're going to, you know, that whole thing. Her whole life was just figured out. I know what it's going to be. I know what the course is going to be. But now it's all different. Nothing's the same. Nothing's the same. It's all changed. I don't even know if people will accept me anymore. I don't know if I'm going to be married to Joseph anymore. I don't even know what my family's going to think if I come back pregnant. Her whole life is just kind of changed. Everything she was thinking about, dreaming about is gone. What did she know? Next slide. She knew the traditional Messiah stories. I put Passover there because every Jewish person, every year, you go through the Passover, and in the Passover, they tell you the story of God's pulling people out of Egypt, how the miracles that he did, the ten plagues, and all the things that he did to get them out of Egypt. And at the end of every Passover meal is a expectation of the coming of the Messiah. So from her childhood, every year of her life, at least once a year, if not more, she's been reminded, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming. And even though it seemed very distant, because it has been hundreds of years since those events happened, she's reminded every year that he's coming. She had received this news from the angel. And Luke doesn't even tell us if she knew it was an angel. We don't even know. If she knew it was an angel, she just seemed to understand that he had some authority. This person spoke for God, but we don't know that she knew that he was an angel. And that news that he gave was confirmed by Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, yeah, this is true. This is really going to happen. This is you. She knew that she was a virgin, but she was still pregnant. She knew God had done something miraculous, that God had done something nobody could explain. She knew that God had truly spoken. And she knew that her life had just been dramatically changed. That her life was not going to be what she thought it was going to be. It was going to be totally different. No clue what it would be, but totally different. I was thinking of, so what does this story mean to us? Next slide. So what about us? I think I would throw these three things out for us. One, Are we obedient and receptive to God's plans for our lives as He reveals it? When we understand what God wants of us, when God reveals it to us, how do we receive it? Do we receive it? Are we willing to be obedient to what He calls us to do? Mary said, I'm a bondslave of the Lord, understanding that this would change her life, that she was willing to go through with it and do it in a good way. Second, did we find joy? Mary prayed, I rejoice in God, that she found joy in God's plan moving forward, even at the cost or the expense of our personal comfort and goals. Her goals were all gone. Her personal comfort, all gone. And yet she could rejoice because she knew God's plan was going forward. She found joy in God's plan going forward, not in her own personal comfort. That is a significant, I think when I look at Mary, that is probably the thing that impresses me the most about her. That even though she knew that her life was not going to be what she thought, it was probably going to be much, much, much harder, she could still rejoice in that. And the third thing, can we embrace the uncertainty of life as a follower of Christ? We don't know what God is going to ask us to do. We don't know what God is going to call us to go through. We don't know. All we know is that as a follower of Christ, anything can happen. Anything can happen. He can ask anything of us. It could be good, it could be bad, from our perspective. All we know is we're supposed to do and follow God whatever, wherever He calls us to go, to do whatever He calls us to do, to go through whatever He calls us to go through. That's all we know. And we have to embrace that uncertainty. We can have plans, we can have goals, we can have thoughts, but we have to understand that any time God can come in and just turn that upside down. Turn it upside down. Totally take us out of things that we would be comfortable with, things that we want. All that's gone. Take us a totally different way that's scary, uncertain, stressful, puts us in a really bad place. All those things. But because we're a follower of Christ, we should expect that that can happen. We need to expect that. And we need to, I think God would hope that we would embrace that. That life is an adventure, you know. Yeah, we can plan it all out and it looks pretty good for us that way. But God doesn't like that. He says, I want to take you on an adventure. I want you to grow. I'm going to take you places you never thought you would go. I'm going to bring you to meet people you never thought you're going to meet. You're going to have your life changed in ways you never thought your life would be changed. Because that's who God is. But we have to embrace that and allow Him to do that for us. Mary's life was never the same. And some would say it was a lot harder, a lot harder. But she knew God in ways that we will never probably know God because of the path that God took her through. As we look forward to Christmas, I don't know what God's going to do in the next few weeks. Don't know. My life can change dramatically. You don't know what could happen. But can we embrace that? Can we be joyful that God is moving His plan forward no matter what? And just trust that God is going to do it. And God can do the impossible. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for the life of Mary, Lord, a young girl who must have been overwhelmed by what she had to face. But Father, we are encouraged to see that even a young girl had faith. Not even a lot of faith, but enough faith to trust You, to allow You to have freedom to work in her life. And because of that, we have a Savior. So Father, we thank You for her life. We pray that we can learn from her and that we can also embrace the unexpected. We can find joy when Your plan moves forward, that we can be open and receptive to Your plans for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we receive this morning's benediction? Let's pray together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us as we go to live obediently and faithfulness, to be open to embrace and change for where you call us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.